Oh, here, in case anybody, like I say, I apologize, half of those, Costco takes credit for. The ones that are gingerbread. Made them a while back, so.
They look super good, but I'm a gluten-free diabetic, so I'm gonna.
That's right, I'm sorry, I forgot.
No, otherwise, I don't know that the plate would have made it over. They look great, though.
Like I say, normally by this time, I've got a lot of baking done, and we have vegetarians in the family, and then we have that are gluten-free, and then, anyway, there's several different things, so when it comes to baking, it, yeah.
It's for you again.
Yeah.
Nice pen, can I get my?
I thought that was my Christmas present.
Sorry, my generosity.
Okay, there.
I feel a real sense of accomplishment when I can actually use all the ink in one pen. I feel like I've actually accomplished.
If you can keep a pen that long, that's pretty good.
I never had thought about measuring my accomplishments by that way, remember that. Well, I'll go ahead so we can get, thank y'all, like I said to some already, thank y'all so much for coming out. I know this is a bad time of the year to do this, but, and we will try and do it quickly so you can get to the Christmas program. And just the rest of you can get home and do whatever. Hopefully a little bit of relaxation, but. Does everybody know everybody? Should we go around and introduce or?
I'll introduce Darren.
I'll introduce Steve.
Okay.
Andrea.
Okay.
And Rick.
Rick.
Gary.
Gary and Beverly, okay. To recap real quickly, the birthday celebration's gonna be the middle of September next year. The actual date is October, but because of weather, we're gonna do it in September. And it's non-commercial in the sense that no outside vendors. But it's gonna be open up. It'll start on a Sunday afternoon. Hopefully we'll have some dignitaries there and have the winner of the beard growing contest there. Select a pumpkin queen, and that is open to any male, female, whatever. Anybody can do that. And then we had talked about afterwards doing a variety of things, but like a style show of dresses through the years, and just let everybody come, sort of like they do the 4th of July parade over in Harrisburg. Just you line up and, you know, maybe tell a little bit about your outfit that you've got on. But like I say, I'm not sure whether that's going to be that day or later, but I think that would be a good way to start it off. And hopefully encourage the businesses in town to maybe be open that day. And but definitely during that whole week, because we will have something hopefully every evening. On Wednesday, of course, encourage everyone to go to church, for the churches who have a Wednesday night service, and maybe ask the churches to tell a little bit about maybe the church's history in Junction City. Because I know that, for instance, the Lutheran church that's down across from the high school used to be downtown. The picture of our house from 1909, you can see it, and it's downtown. Of course, it wasn't the only one that was downtown. Like I say, in the other nights, if businesses want to be open, that would be great. And just have organizations, like I say, the churches, the school, the fire department, you know, business, whatever, do different things every night that week. Friday, if there is a football game, encourage everyone, maybe dress up in costume and go to the football game to support the football team. On Saturday, there'll be the reverse parade on 6 going from Ivy up to the high school. And that can be a float, it can be a decorated semi-truck, it can be a Scandinavian, booth that you move in. They can sell, food, whatever. But it's just gonna be a parade, but instead of, the parade going by us, the pedestrians will go by the parade. And that way we don't have to close the highway, which is kind of a pain with the state for the city to do. And that evening, we've talked about dances. Lots of ideas, but not anything concrete on that. But Saturday will be the big day of celebration all day. And then on Sunday, again, we've talked about having a citywide picnic and at the ball fields out between Oakley School and Laurel Elementary. And having, sack races for the kids, doing some of the old-fashioned things. I know something I got. We used to have a pumpkin celebration around the turn of the century here in town, and so we're encouraging, things to do with pumpkins. Somebody wants to come up with the bucket thing that goes up in the air.
Catapult,
thank you. That would, as long as they're willing to clean up the mess that leaves. Also something I thought of, I know when I was growing up back in the dark ages, the bobbing for apples, and then also the apples on a string, you put your hands behind and you try to catch it. And whoever decides to do that, if they felt so inclined, could sell caramel apples too. But that would be something that would be relatively cheap to do, and yet a fun activity for all ages, but especially for the kiddos. We'd have to provide some, start saving from hotels when you stay at them, the shower caps for the bobbing, unless you didn't care. And hopefully we will be able to do this without masks by that time. Like I say, that's kind of where we're at. And I'm just going to open it up. And of course, the Historical Society, which Bill is here representing, is a big part of this because this is what this birthday celebration is all about. So I'm going to go around the table.
Okay. Well, we're a resource to you, and glad some new organizations made it. And I think more will come in January because we put the word out. Grange, I know, is interested. I'm sure we'll drag the schools in at some point, or we'll just tell them what they're going to do, right?
We might have to.
Yeah.
As the mayor mentioned, as far as the history of the churches, we can be helpful with that. And I was actually talking to another very early church in the community today about something special for next year, so I won't spoil their surprise, but so just see us as a resource, and then we're looking stuff up for Brandon, about the checkered history of the fire department. And I just want to emphasize one thing that we talked about quite a bit last time too, and that's the commercial aspect. As I understand it, the local organizations are welcome to try to do what they do to raise money, for their causes. If the Lions want to do the chicken barbecue that weekend, that's awesome, right?
Yeah, whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Except that, that's getting pretty close to what we normally have. We usually have one early October,
so
getting pretty close.
Yeah. And nothing stops you from doing another one, And the thought was, you know, Andrea and Gary came up with a parade idea where six is so wide there, because historically, it used to be the state highway, civic highway. The booths and displays would be on either side, you know, and then down the middle would be like a pedestrian, you know, like a street fair mall. And so you can just bring your typical organizations to have a booth anyway.
I'm not sure how we're going to light, if they have a booth to light it up, but that's going to be their problem.
Yeah, there's not going to be the utility, normal utilities that the festival has for those booths, you know, as far as sewer and water. But self-contained things would work.
Hopefully we'll get, I mean, it's going to happen during the day, so hopefully the sun will cooperate. I'm sorry, I don't ever...
Oh, no, no. Yeah, so any support you need from the Historic Society, we can, you know, it's hard to screw up too much on the history, you know, as long as, I mean, you know, bobbing for apples is, you know, there's no copyright on that. So. But we have a lot of information on the old Pumpkin Festival. It was P-U-N-K-I-N, that was the name of the festival. That ran from about 1909 to 27 or so. There's missing newspapers that nobody has. The university doesn't have them either. We have the same copies they do. Things got kind of sketchy there with a couple of the newspaper publishers. We had a lot of turnover there during those tough years. Kind of starts around the time of the pandemic back then, and then the you know, some of the odd years in there. So, but. That was a big thing around here. People came on the train from Portland to go to that. And, we've got some nice posters and stuff. So I know Rick has an affinity for harvest festivals, his fairgrounds experience. So, you know, well, I'm sure that that harvest and pumpkin theme, I'm sure a lot of people, different groups and businesses will seize on that, you know, that time of year. We've been pushing that for a couple of years, so I think you'll see a good response on that. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, I'm the first time at this meeting, but just as I hear it, so I hear you're saying from, it's a Sunday to Sunday.
Yes.
Is that, and I'm just hearing that. To me, that it's like the Scandinavian festival is actually more concentrated Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you won't get it too spread out and too thin instead of having it really concentrated in 4 days, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday? That's just kind of how, that's how I would see it, or I don't want to rock the boat, but it, in my opinion, that would be almost two, what did they say, a mile wide, an inch deep and a mile wide, instead of really having something over 4 days, more condensed. That's just my opinion. That's just something for me. What historical sites are in Junction City? I know that we have the train. I was just thinking about what about if we, have like a walking tour or something like that?
I just was writing that down. This is one of the ideas that we had talked about.
Yeah, that's come up a couple of times, yeah.
And okay.
We'll, and you can help on that too.
Okay.
No, we're already drawing up some stuff to modify the old ones that the Historical Society has. And I think the church history is really, and if you don't know, Darren Ringel is one of the churches here, Church of the Nazarene, correct? And he's also on the Historical Society Board, for clarity. You know, just a walking tour of Ivy, there used to be like six churches on Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lutheran church that the mayor mentioned used to sit right behind the Lee House, right where the physical therapy building is. It used to be First Interstate, I guess, and a Dollar Tree after that. Yeah, so it's, there's some pretty, you know, that's stuff we could put out earlier in the year, and people can be enjoying that all summer, pretty much. There never was a really good walking tour done of the historic houses. You know, people have no idea. There's some really incredible historic houses here with specific history about who lived in them and how famous or notorious they were, including your house.
Yeah.
So the, you know, for example, the people that, where the Raven is today, that was Jackson's Mercantile.
Yes, that owned our house.
He's very,
the head of our house built.
Yeah, very early entrepreneur. Those four little buildings here are the oldest commercial buildings left that go back into the 1900s or 1800s. You know, the family that started the first really good newspaper here in 1891 or so, they lived in that house just right down the street here that it had all the arborvitae in front of it that they just cut back. You had to go back there in an alley once,
mm-hmm.
where I was sitting in the car.
Yeah.
And watching your back. with some lunatic in that alley back there. And that was that editor's house. That was a famous house. So I'm not sure the folks live there even though, but they're taking good care of it. So. Yeah, just lots of stuff like that. Sorry, I tend to go on about it for sure. But that's a great idea that we've already started on.
We discussed having, doing what you said, you know, only having it like on a weekend. And then we talked about, because it's actually a birthday party. So it's not like we're going to do stuff that, I mean, we're going to welcome people if they want to come from Eugene or whatever and hear about it. But it's predominantly going to be a city celebration. And I think, Andrea, you were the one that mentioned it first about making it longer rather than just a weekend thing. And we all kind of got onto that idea. And what it'll do is, I mean, it'll be business as usual during the day and during the week, but then in the evening from 5 o'clock on, do something. And like I say, just and it's not, that's not set in stone, but that's kind of what we've been thinking. And like I say, it's just for especially the citizens of Junction City to celebrate being 150 years old. That's an accomplishment.
Yep.
It was more like open it up so groups have the freedom to, or a business says, well, you know, I really would like to do something, but, you know, I'm going to the game on Saturday or whatever, so they can do something on a Thursday night and have their, what did they used to have, the women's night out for a certain business and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just gives more flexibility. Because the whole emphasis is on groups being free to do an individual thing as part of the celebration. It's not that everybody has to do something all week.
You don't
have to open up your church and celebrate every night. You can pick one day out of that whole deal.
That's
how I understand that.
Are you wanting like the Scandinavian dancers or something like that to do that one night?
We haven't, I mean, I definitely want the Scandinavian festival involved, but it's not a Scandinavian festival. It is because they came a little later, the Danes and the Norse people. But yes, we definitely, like say, want them included, of course, but this is just, we want to get everybody involved, and especially the businesses and the organizations here in town. That I think there's probably a lot of people who live here in Junction City have no idea what is actually here as far as community service type groups, and maybe don't, oh, I didn't know that church was here, you know, just to familiarize our citizens with our town, maybe educate them a little bit and hopefully do it in a a fun, joyful way.
Yep. So did you want, I go to the Ministerial Association, so would you want each of the churches to say, you know, we're going to, Nazarene Church, we're going to have on Tuesday night, or we're going to open our doors and the Methodists and the Nazarenes and say, Tuesday night we're going to be here and we're going to tell the history of our church or something like that, and then, you know, Methodist another night, or do them all in one night?
It would definitely be, I would think, with the rest of the committee, my way of thinking, it'd be up to the churches. If the y'all want to come together and do one thing, that's fine. If like one church wants to, say, sell pies in a booth in the reverse parade, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that they can't have something on Wednesday night or, yeah. or you know, Sunday night or whatever. It doesn't mean you have to can only do one thing.
Would you or one of your representatives be willing to come to the Ministerial Association and share that idea? So it's not just me bringing the idea, but it's somebody who would have a broader perspective of what's going on?
Yeah. Just let us know, and if I can, I'll get somebody else twist an arm. And
second Thursdays?
Still? It'll be next Wednesday if you'd like to come, and I'd be glad to let Gordon Johnson know. If not, we have every month. I just know that the sooner the better to get the ideas.
What time?
Between 11:30 and 11:45 next Wednesday at King's Grace Church.
So Gordon was originally here for the first meeting,
yes.
part of the committee, and. Mm-hmm. I've passed the word on to Dave Kaufman also.
Okay, yeah.
Dave may have forgot because I mentioned to him, we talked a little bit about it, and then I haven't got back to him.
Yep.
That's my fault on that, but at least those two do know.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not anything that anyone's got. I mean, we'd like to have an idea of what, you know, say one church is doing or what the schools are doing. But it isn't that we are going to restrict anybody, unless to get, we want everything to be legal.
Yeah.
But,
you gotta watch those churches with that. They're going to be the ones that break the law.
Oh.
Did you want to cut off the recording before you send that?
No, I'm good.
It's sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their minds around the freedom involved in this kind of format. It's kind of like what we used to do with what was called First Saturday, where as long as you didn't say, we are the official First Saturday people and we're doing it on Friday, you know, as long as you don't see something really obnoxious and disruptive organizationally, you're just, you know, free to do whatever you want. You can have your own personal queen if you want. You just can't say this is the official queen over all the other queens of every gender for the recording or whatever.
I don't think our church
will
be careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we need to bring anything or
no? Lunch is provided.
Oh, free meal.
Lunch is provided. It's always a very delicious
right
lunch.
On that.
There's so many perks to these jobs here.
And don't be surprised if you come or whoever comes that we actually just pray a blessing over you as our city leader as well.
I would appreciate that. I don't think those ever hurt.
For a leader.
Okay. Is that?
That's
okay.
Good, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, well, Steve.
Contrary to popular belief, I wasn't here when the city was founded. I have been here for nearly half its history, but since I'm the immediate past president of the Lions Club, we formed here in Junction City in 1929, and this would be a good opportunity to kind of put some information about our group, some of the things that we do, so that might be a good opportunity. And if I could tie it in with our chicken barbecues, so much the better. But I'll just have to take that to the board and see what they think. But, you know, this would be kind of a nice opportunity, because I don't think the city did a whole lot on the 100th birthday, although that was the year I graduated from high school, so I was off to college, but I don't remember any big to-do at that time, so.
They folded it into the Scandinavian.
Yeah, well, that's probably it.
A thing then.
That makes the Lions the oldest organization that's still in existence, right?
We had our, just 2 years ago, we had our 90th. There's only a handful of clubs in the state of Oregon that are older than ours. There's one in downtown Eugene, and there's, I think, where was the other one? One of them's in southern Oregon and a couple other places, but Lions was, I think it was founded in like 1919, so we were in there the first 10 years. And we've been there ever since.
That's amazing.
Compared to some of the clubs throughout the country these days, a lot of service organizations are having tough times because their membership's getting older and they're hard to find newer members. But our club has stayed pretty steady over the years, and we have a wide variety of ages, you know, from probably late 20s to, you know, late 90s. It's been pretty good. We're always trying to get new members, but we always are looking for ways to get our, kind of advertise ourselves and you know, tell people what we do, because there's a variety of things that we do for the community, and this would be a good opportunity to put the word out. So.
And like I say, you don't have to do just one thing. You can do something, you can decide to do the chicken, you can do something else too. I mean, it's strictly, like I say, it's a celebration for the city. And so we want to have fun with it. And but if, you know, organization or church can make a little bit of money from it, that's great too. As long as it's here, somebody from here and it's in town.
Are you all co-ed, Steve, or do you have a separate?
No, it's Lions Club has been combined. That's been close to 40 years now. The first club that tried to integrate men and women of the same club got in hot water with the national organization, and back in the early 80s or so, and that didn't last long. It turned out the national had to back down, or the international had to back down, and now every club is anybody over 18, man or woman, can join. It's there's no restrictions that way.
Probably helps with the longevity, because I know the Masons had to fold into Eugene here. The Oddfellows had to fold into Eugene.
Yeah, some of those groups.
Those were really old. Those were older clubs.
Some of those groups, their demographics were, you know, the average age was getting up there, and that's the problem. Our group is an international group, so it's in places like India and Japan, and some of those places, some of their clubs might have 200 or 300 members or more. I mean, there's a huge amount. We've got. Internationally, I don't know, I think we have like 14 million, or maybe not quite that many. We got like 14,000 clubs, I think. But in the United States, it really varies from a club of a half a dozen to a club with several hundred. But it's been a challenge for, even around here over the years, we used to have several other service clubs in Junction City. You know, we used to have Kiwanis, BPW, a few others, and so that's been a challenge everywhere in the United States these last 20, 30 years to get the people, those people in the 20 to 40 year old group to join. So for us, anytime we can go out and recruit or you know, show what we can do, it helps us, because otherwise we're just
well-kept secret, so.
Well, hopefully we can help you get the advertising out there. I know Seroptimus is pretty much like Lions. It's international and community service. And we are, I don't know why, but we're so lucky because we have a big club and it ranges in ages from late 20s all the way up to my age. So and like I say, very active. And you wonder sometimes why this one organization is so successful while others that are just as good go by the great wayside.
You gotta be pretty inclusive so you can, you know, if you go for just a certain group, you're not gonna get very many people, but it, you know, if anybody's welcome, it's pretty easy. But yeah, we've done some joint things with Seroptimus as far as helping out with the wine terrace and set yeah. up and take down and a few things. So, you know, that works out. It's kind of a win-win for both clubs that way. So.
Yep. We need a kittens club for the 18 and under.
Yeah.
We actually have, there actually is a what they call Leo's clubs. There's only a handful of them in Oregon. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to, if you get the right person to supervise it, it works pretty well because the high school kids, if you can get a good group of them, they really work hard and do a lot of stuff. But the problem is you get a group that graduates and then if you don't have some kind of continuation, it gets real hard for it to work. There's a big group in, I think it's the Dalles that's got the biggest club. It's for people from like 15 to 18.
It's called what?
The Leo's.
Leo?
Leo's Club, yeah, they're affiliated with the local Lions Club, and one of the Lions is usually the supervisor, or the kind of the coordinator, but the kids are the ones that run the meetings and stuff. They usually are tied in with the local club and do the same, pretty much the same service projects and what have you. But we tried to start one here a couple of years ago, and it went well for about a year or two, and then the person that was in charge got seriously ill and had to give it up, and then subsequently, like I say, the leaders of it graduated out, and so they didn't have a real big base, and so it kind of died out. But there's some places that are really, really successful. And
I had never heard of, didn't realize they had a younger group.
Yeah, there's that. Like I say, there's some. I think they're more prominent in the Midwest. But there's a handful of them in Oregon that are, like I said, there's one at the Dalles, and I think there's one at someplace on the North Coast that are pretty, you know, quite successful. Just takes the right person to lead it.
I was going to say that's, you know, when it comes to the younger, the better the leader is, you're going to be successful.
It sounds like it would work in Junction City. You just have to find that right younger adult person who may have a kid, you know, who's the type of person who volunteers a lot.
I see where you're going with this, though.
Who could that be? Someone who just asked a question about it.
Something
that... Steve is a history major, by the way.
Oh, all right.
Got to brag on him. That's how we got him in to the historical side.
Is the Scouts. We still have a... I haven't heard anything about the Girl Scouts here lately, but Boy Scouts we still have, don't we?
Yeah, there's still some Girl Scouts.
Girls are active.
There's,
yeah. Okay, the girls are? Okay, yeah. So.
Melanie Vaughn still?
Yep.
Okay. And make contact with them, too.
Oh, Grange has been contacted, too, so they'll probably show up.
Oh, good,
today.
Good,
by
yeah.
By the way, I told you I'd do that.
I want them involved. Okay, is that...
I don't have anything else. This is just kind of my first time, so okay. I didn't come with any grand ideas.
Well, you can work on that between now and the next meeting.
Okay.
And Andrea?
I really don't have anything that I haven't said at the last couple of meetings. I think I kind of agree with Darren a little bit too. I think once we really have it figured out what we're gonna do, if we need to narrow it down a few days, it might
not hurt, but, I mean, if we, I was gonna maybe mention something about, I mentioned it at the council meeting, and then, I don't know if there's a way we can put it on the city website, like, with a link to, like, the 150th celebration for 2022, and then kind of maybe put stuff on there of what the plan is and the days, and...
Yeah, once the plan's nailed out, it shouldn't be hard to have Kitty put it on there.
Yeah, because I think, too, we gotta maybe start figuring out, like, for the parade part of it, how are we gonna do that? Like, have people come down to the city and grab a flyer to submit for, like, their entrance, you know, whatever it is they're gonna do, so that we can kind of have a record of information of who's gonna participate. So we know, you know, do we only get 5 people and we've shut down the whole street, or do we have enough room? Do we need to pull in the high school parking lot? You know, I think...
Yeah.
If you think about it, we only have, what, 7-8 more meetings? So even though it sounds far away, we're getting down to the wire.
No, it'll be here before we turn around twice, so, yeah. And we may have to go to having more than one meeting a month towards, you know, closer to the time. It will depend on getting, like I say, getting the word out and... having the different groups here in town, or even the individuals, you know.
Maybe start putting stuff on.
Because it's going to be opened up to everybody. It doesn't have to be a group. It can be a family can do something.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the parade part.
The what is it? The Facebook. There's the Junction City. I'm drawing a blank.
Community page or something?
Yeah, so there's like a city, Junction City Connection or Community Connection or something like that, that maybe start putting something on that to let everybody know, hey, this is coming up, we have these meetings, and trying to plan for it, and I don't know, see if anybody's interested in ideas, or that we're going to have this parade, and there'll be a... But kind of just give people, like, hey, this is what the plan is, and this is where you can go to get the information or whatever. And I think if we just have all the paperwork here at City Hall, it would be easy for people to stop by and grab.
Yeah, I can say that's a really good idea, because we do need to keep track of how much of the street we're going to need to, you know, close off and what we're going to have. And hopefully we have enough to have to go into the parking lot at the high school. Mm-hmm. But we gotta get schools involved, so.
And I was gonna say, like, I mentioned it, and I volunteer Ryan Senega for anything you need him to do.
That's
Just that say you've been nominated. Don't tell him who. task him with it, because Ryan knows everybody. But I mentioned it to him to mention at the school board also. That, you know, we want some school involvement.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was going to mention it, like, at the open meeting, or if he was going to mention it somehow, but he said he would.
Yeah. Yeah, the superintendent seemed very enthusiastic about it. So, well, I hope so, because getting the children involved always, that's a way of getting the parents involved.
Yep.
So.
Well, if he's enthusiastic, that works too, because he's one of our Lions members too. So,
yep.
Ah.
Yep. He's a go-getter. So he's.
Oh, good. Are we
any closer to getting a date? So that, I mean, I think we're just waiting on the school football schedule. Or something.
Yeah,
they won't come out for a while.
Yeah, the OSAA comes out. I mean, they. In December, but you won't probably know it for sure.
It may not come out in December this year because they're shaping the league up again.
Yeah,
no. They may not have schedule made it maybe well into the spring before they have something.
So I think that date of, was it like the 17th and 18th?
Something like that.
It was that week. And I don't remember whether that was the beginning or the ending weekend.
Because to Andrea's point, you know, what's holding up, Andrea made points that need, you know, need to be taken care of, and I think the only thing that's holding that up is the date. So we may need to just go ahead and set the date and go.
That's what I'd suggest, you gotta have a date, and then you can start backwards planning on what you're gonna do with those, whatever dates it is.
Yeah, you could, it's all in the wording and the marketing of, you know, if you set that first Sunday for some kind of ceremonial, you know, you just may not wanna call it opening day, so you're not over committing yourself, you just, if you wanna have that Sunday, whatever, call it something. And then, you don't have to commit to celebrating all week, but you can just have your opening.
I guess it would help.
If you have a date kinda circled.
Big weekend.
Yeah, if you have a date circled, then you can kinda condense it and see what you need.
Yeah, I've got that written down here.
Ideally, you'd have Friday full with a game, and maybe you can make it homecoming game, and have a dance that night, and, you know, really.
That would be nice if it worked out that way, but.
Well, if we did it on that weekend, is it possible to, the people who make the decision, to talk to the school and say, hey, can you tell them, we're having the 150th anniversary, so whoever makes that schedule, have that to be the homecoming?
How much input does the school?
The school doesn't really have that, OSA.
When I reached out to Craig, he's like, it's out of my hands.
OSA does that, they don't have a choice in it, so.
Okay.
And if it's a away game, then we have to deal with it.
Yep.
We have to, fingers crossed and maybe say some prayers, that might help.
Yeah, I think we wait for the U of O and OSU and the high school, I think we're.
Well, the U of O schedule's already out.
Yeah, we know what it is, and I have it at home.
They're at Georgia, the 3rd, 10th is Eastern Washington, the 17th is BYU.
Here?
Second, third games are here, the 4th one's away, so.
I think we kinda already covered the college thing, we didn't care, right?
The kid, you're gonna have one at home and one away, most likely, anyway.
Yeah, see, somebody can set up a big screen TV in there.
Have a tailgate party.
Yeah. That would be fun, have a tailgate, and, which is a thought for the Lions, put on a tailgate party and charge everybody to come through and have chicken and.
I would defer to Gary, because he's a coach here, but.
I was, I'm no longer there.
Okay, so it would be, the 17th and 18th would be that weekend would be kinda like the main things. But we would be kinda opening it up that Sunday before.
The 11th?
Yeah, so, let's see.
17th, they play BYU.
Oh, is it away, or?
Is it away or home?
It's home.
It's home?
Afternoon.
Well, like I say, a good tailgate, yeah.
Well, they have no idea, but they seem to play a lot of night games early on, so.
Well, it's not the Huskies or the Beavers.
No.
A number one team, so.
Well, yeah.
So, we'd have the opening things, if we go with what we've talked about, is on the 10th, on a Sunday. And then, like I say, during the week, it would be, maybe the businesses could have sales or whatever, try and draw more people in. If they wanna be open in the evening that week, they could, and then encourage, different organizations to do whatever. Just, like I say, it's just supposed to be a celebration.
I think the date is about right, because I know with experience with our barbecue, when you have it, gets into October, it's kind of rolling the dice with the weather.
That's the reason why we moved it up a month.
Remember the old Eugene celebration, when they had, usually had it at like late of August or early September, it usually wasn't a problem, but you move it back into late September or farther into October, it could be hot, it could be raining sideways, you never know, it's.
Well, of course.
But I think that time of year is a pretty good shot of.
Say fingers and toes crossed. But we, like I say, we get these, some advertising out on this, I guess we'll go ahead and finish going around, and then we'll come back to those dates. But Andrea, did you have any?
No, that's it.
Rick?
Today I had a meeting with our new coordinator for our networking breakfast and lunch meetings. She basically is, well, she kind of took over this month, but will start next month. And we discussed doing basically a, she wants to do themes for the month. And so we thought we'd do a history month and would focus it on the celebration, which would mean that we would have somebody from the committee come in and speak at the networking breakfast, as well as coming into the lunch forums. What we started doing in the last couple of months is both of those meetings are done on Facebook Live. And what we found is that we are creating and generating a rather large audience now that are viewing our speakers and kind of, well, we're actually getting membership from it. We've got people that have decided to join the chamber because of this. So I think if we're a couple, 3 months down the road, our audience is going to grow, and I think that would be a great way for us to help start promoting the celebration. So that's something we'll be working on, and hopefully by the next meeting we can get to which month that would be and start working towards having speakers come in to do that. So that's the first part. The second part is that we are now going to start with my weekly update, and in our newsletter, start with the little teasers and let people know there's a committee that's been and being developed. If they have any ideas, if they'd like to participate or something like that, we'll give a number for them to reach out to, and hopefully start at least through our chamber membership, and which is a lot of businesses and organizations, getting the word out, and especially with those Junction City businesses. And I think possibly from there we can explore the possibilities of doing some night sales, or maybe it's a heritage sale, or you know, something like that, that we can kind of formulate around that that time frame. What I will say is we had several businesses stay open for the light parade. And if you came by Max Porter's, and they're not actually on the parade route, but they had lines out the door. They had one of their biggest days in recent history because staying open late. Courtyard on 6th also stayed open later. Whimsy stayed open. And it generated a lot of traffic for them. So I think it, as we develop the concepts and everything, can show the businesses that there would be traffic generated. I think that they would be more likely to want to stay open to take advantage of that, especially that time of year. Yeah. So those are kind of some areas that we are looking at now, and hopefully can start bringing in a wider audience.
Yeah, I think that was one of the ideas, if I remember right, with trying to do the evening things, is because so many, I don't look on us as a bedroom community, but there are a lot of people who live here that do work in Eugene and Springfield, or even going north, and being open in the evening would give them a chance to learn what businesses are really here. Because so many times, if you're already in Eugene, you're going to do your shopping in there, you know, before you come home. And like I say, it was more to, like I say, open up the eyes of citizens as to what is mm-hmm. here. Somebody could even take the idea and have an early Christmas sale, you know, do whatever. But yeah, we definitely, I think, like I say, it's. We just want everybody in that lives here to learn what is actually here, whether it's an organization, whether it's a church, whether it's the Scouts or our businesses or whatever. think it's a real good opportunity and excuse, I guess, to enlighten our citizens and in particular, and to people who don't live here that might come.
Well, one thought is, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the Scandinavia dancers. I know I love watching the little kids. They're just hysterical.
Oh, yes, aren't they?
But couldn't that, when we're doing, you know, the stationary parade and we have maybe some food vendors or that, maybe find like a parking lot and having the Scandinavia dancers come in and perform, and maybe having the Church City School of Dance come in and perform, and even, and I don't know if this is even possible, but maybe if they're contacted early enough, Generations Theater maybe could put together some old type of play, even if it's just one act or something like that, that they could perform out in the open. But that showcases our local community and community members, organizations and whatnot, and just might then, I know when we use Junction City School of Dance at our business expo, that's when we get everybody coming in.
Yeah.
They wanted to see the dancers because you had grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and aunt and uncle.
Yes, yes.
You know, all the extended families wanted to come out to see Susie dance. And so naturally we, you know, have all these people in there, and then after they're finished, it thins out. So I think that would be maybe a possible way on that Saturday, if that's what we're looking at for the parade,
that's
to get some real community involvement.
And, yeah.
You know, use the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the ones that usually get people out. I just went to one for a great granddaughter, and we had two rows just for her. but the Generations Theater, I hadn't thought about that, or the School of Dance. So,
now we also, because it's Junction City, we also have the Junction City Polka Band, which I play in.
Oh, yes.
So we need outdoor stage. There's a lot of room. The thing I like about the that area, that part of 6th Street that's not encumbered by the highway and all that, and the tracks, you've got a lot of property off the street too. St. Helens, take a look at St. Helens, a lot of property there. And the Lutheran Church, and of course the school, and you could have outdoor stages for those things. And overflow parking, if we talked in earlier meetings about touch a truck, you know, that's always popular with the kids too. Public works trucks, fire trucks, you know, police, etc. So
could that area, if I understand that, sixth street west of Ivy, 6th Street west of Ivy that goes down to the school.
Yeah.
Again, could that be just one big walking tour of some kind, and people would just kind of walk and have different booths, historical booths?
Yeah, that's
what you're saying.
That's what they call reverse parade.
Oh, okay.
Because the people walk rather than the...
Yeah, okay. So I'm slow, I'm just learning. But.
Well, it's your first time, okay.
Great.
And I had never heard a reverse parade, but I think it's a great idea, rather than, like I say, trying to close Ivy Street.
Because you can also get there from many different places.
Yes, yeah.
People can walk there, you know, from most of the residential, well, not most, but yeah, a majority of the residential is on the west side, I suppose.
So, and one other oddball idea, and it kind of came up, is I had a dinner and auction committee meeting today, and it might cost a few bucks, but maybe we'd find a sponsor to do it. But we bring in a photo booth for about 3 hours, and it's green screen, so we select what images that we put on that photo booth, and possibly we could find 4 historic images of Junction City. And that could be a gimme, you know, come and have your picture taken, you'll get these, you get the copy of it, and it's a kind of a free thing for the attendees.
Yeah.
And maybe you just do it for 3 hours.
That is a great idea. Yeah.
You know. I think we're using destination events out of Eugene Court, and I think this one is going to cost us about $495, but it's unlimited photos for 3 hours.
So people can have the picture taken?
They can come in if they want to dress period appropriate or something like that, then maybe it's in front of the Opera House.
But you know, do you think maybe they could pay something, like a dollar or whatever, to offset that, the cost of it, so that
I don't know why not, if the committee chooses.
Some group could actually make some money maybe off of it. Which could be the chamber, could be whoever, you know.
Yeah, you know, a dollar for, you know, they get four photos for it, so.
If I may, a historical note, well, the chamber's involved here.
I have to go.
Yes, enjoy, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you again for coming.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Enjoy, they canceled the one at my granddaughter's school, so I must go to this year.
So tentatively, someone will be there next Wednesday at our ministerial association?
Yes.
I will let Gordon and the rest of the gang know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
But the Scandia Festival used to be all local, you know, the outside vendor was a new concept. And I think when folks, businesses especially, catch on, and organizations, because a lot of organizations have kind of fallen off even with the festival, you know, over the years. When they get the notion that they've got a corner on the market, you know, they're not going to be competing with I'm not going to pick on anybody, I don't think. They're competing with something out of Eugene that's just some kind of mass-produced professional food thing, for example. And they'll be more anxious to participate and more motivated to participate. Do you think that may be the case?
Yeah, it would be great if we could get even churches or group or whatever for each night of that week to do a dinner. That way people would come out, go and eat, and then maybe make some of the stores and, you know, whatever.
The festival would do that. They do a meatball dinner to raise money usually, some years, you know, at the Moose usually, during the year. Yeah, I just think, you know, it's hard to have the ladies of the church or the group bake some cheesecakes and set up a booth if the Cheesecake Factory professional booth is coming in for the celebration.
There was an announcement this morning on the news that there is a cheesecake shortage. There's a cream cheese shortage for the cheesecakes.
Oh, really?
So they are actually paying, I think Philadelphia Cream Cheese is actually paying people to buy, like $20 to buy.
I think it's $20 or something like that.
To buy something non-cheese, with cream cheese.
Wow.
Oh.
Time to buy some cows.
Did I just hear that right? There's a cream cheese shortage.
So I've upgraded my fridge out, so for a reasonable price.
I know. I just bought a couple. I was like, this might be my money maker here. I gotta say.
Well, no one in trouble in Belvita becomes scarce.
The photo booth, you're talking about like the old-fashioned photo booths where you got the strip with your picture?
They have it now. You could have a strip. You could have two and two, so it's four. And that's the one we do, and we put our logo on it. So it could be 150th Junction City Celebration or something like that below. Yeah. So it becomes a keepsake.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, rather than making it free, you know, whoever decides to take that on, that would be a real good, but, you know, keep it reasonable, but so people could, if they were in costume, go have a picture taken, and like you say, it's a souvenir to take home. So as long as the dime stores always had the ones where you went in and set, and they were a quarter, and you got a strip of pictures.
And you can still do that. You decide how you want it to come out. Yeah. And to show just what they're like, 3 years ago we did a beach theme for our auction. And so I decided I'd better be the first in line and had them taken. One of them just looked like I was standing on the beach. It was just perfect. And so I put it on Facebook and said, yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law called me and chewed me out for taking off and going island hopping somewhere. Kelly, but that's how realistic that picture looked. It, like, I was sitting right there.
So if I give you a picture of the old livery stable that stood where the scanning hall is, where the guys are out there holding their horses, staring at the camera, that process can put a person standing there.
Oh, that would be great, because it would go with our.
Or the opera, or the opera house.
You know, there's, I'm sure you guys have a lot of photos that, you know.
Yeah, we got the old theater with, you know, old movies on the marquee, you know, The Blob or something, you know.
Oh, that was the '50s.
The '50s, yeah.
Yeah, went to see that.
So just something to throw out there.
No, I think for myself, I don't know, speaking only for myself, I hope somebody does a photo booth, whether it's a chamber or whatever.
Well, and it could be a moneymaker for a group or someone too.
I think it's a great idea. You have anything else to, okay? Thank you, and thank you for coming. Yes, as far as for the city, you have.
I don't have anything that we haven't already talked about. The only thing that I need you to do is go back and have the minutes approved. The minutes?
Oh.
You haven't approved them for two meetings now.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen them too.
The minutes are attached. They're attached to everything that Kitty sent out.
Yeah, and she usually tells me what to sign.
I just need this committee to approve the minutes, that's all.
Okay.
Just like they do in the council meeting.
Oh, okay. Well.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for.
Okay. Can I do it for a second?
For, where is it? For November 18th, 2021.
And? 10/14/2021.
Yeah, 10/14/2021.
Sure.
Is there a second? Was some, please, somebody say. Could we move in second that we approve the minutes for November and October of this year?
Yeah, Ms. Kitty called me.
For our Junction City Sesquicentennial Advisory Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Hearing none, it's unanimous and they are approved.
Thank you, Kitty will be very happy.
Thank you.
I have a question for Gary.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind. How do you feel about parade registration and city telling all that? Because we do have an expert on parade organization in the room.
I think that has to be ran by the city administrator, honestly.
That's what I thought too.
I don't know that he'd be opposed to it or not, but I'm not gonna make that call sitting here.
That's where I was going.
Although, you know, if Rick would like to take on, I'm sure.
I was thinking he'd be available as a consultant, maybe. I'm sure there's tricks to the trade. You know,
this would just be for the first Saturday parade, so. But that's a good point, Andrea, that we needed to do, rather than just having people show up.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, we gotta have some sort of organization to this.
You have to remember her background, and she's imagining better than some of us probably what might show up without some structure.
You can have some interesting clientele.
Right.
Is that anything?
Who has a connection, or do anybody have a connection to either the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts?
I have a connection with the, well, do you know if Chuck's still doing that?
I don't know.
I may have, if not, I bet you he could put me in touch with the right person, but I don't think it's the Boy Scouts, you know, I think it's the Scouts. I don't think they separated anymore.
Oh, okay, no, they're together.
They're Scouts.
They're Scouts. Yeah, I'd like for them to do, of course, the flags for the opening, and I guess maybe closing anyway, but at least when we open, you know. And also want them to know that if they want to do something, whatever, you know, for the parade, if they want to do something, whatever, to make some money for their organizations, that would be great.
Well, the Scouts that formerly identified themselves as girls would probably, they do their ice cream booth at the festival, and that's their big, that's big.
But they don't have any way of keeping ice cream cold.
Generator.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Duh, barely.
You can locate them next to Touch a Truck and they might have a real big generator.
I was going to say they could put a long cord from our house and
They can put it in your yard.
In front of the house.
They can put it in your yard?
Yeah.
Run a cord out of the Lutheran church and put it on the street.
Okay, is, and I guess the main thing is to get the word out. And Bill and I had talked about, he said that he could make some posters, right?
Yeah, other groups have talent too, and Rick has talent this way. But what we found in the historic society is it's very, since we're opening this up to a diversity of groups and everybody's doing their own thing, if groups, and if they need help, there's people that can help. If groups just produce a flyer or a poster of what they're doing, those things are easily transmitted, you know, electronically. In fact, you don't have to, sorry, Steve, you don't have to spend a lot of money on color printing necessarily, except for the ones you actually want to post. And you can go to Steve for that. But you can scan a color poster and then it can be posted on, you know, Facebook or Rick, in Rick's newsletter or in my newsletter that goes out for the Historic Society. Or weekly thing, you know. Okay. And, you know, if we try to together try to compile everybody's information and do advertising, it's going to get pretty complex.
No, I just want something
that... But if everybody does their own poop, you know, that can be sent to the chamber and sent to the city and posted on the Facebook or something, that works pretty good. And Steve, of course, is the local expert on getting, you know, getting them printed for the organization's own, you know, uses and distribution. So.
I don't know, Steve.
I don't think I heard you.
Could you design something? I just want people to know that it's coming and when it's going to be. And so, oh, well, that's a year from now, but, or not quite really.
Once we get all the details together, we can put something together.
Okay.
Wouldn't be too tough.
And I don't know about budget. We don't have a budget, do we? No.
Do we need, is that something we need to take to like F&J, started a committee?
Probably. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Now would be the time.
Yep.
Yep. Now we're thinking because of the budget.
Because it's going to be a general fund item, so I'd get it in front of Jason and F&J probably.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to need much. You're going to want it for basically hard copy printing and services, that type of stuff. You know, everything else would be electronic. I can't think of any expenses unless you want to do, eventually it gets big enough that you want to do radio and, but again, it's a local celebration. So.
Yeah, I don't think okay, what about
service? Okay. They can tell you that when I send out notices, like flushing notices, it costs me about $850 every time I send one out. So there's a dollar figure if you want to send one to every paying customer that we have.
Is that how much that would be?
It's about $850 every time I do a flyer like that.
Okay.
Not to butt into those affairs, but there's probably I think that kind of expense for advertising and printing would qualify under the
if we had
RRTMP money. You know?
If we had something on an 8.5 by 11, even if it's front and back, I could insert it with a bill.
Yeah, that's what I was.
The bill, and then there's no extra cost. But if we wanted to send out a separate flyer, like when I send out flushing notices, those are about $850.
Yeah, most of that's just the mailing cost.
Yeah,
that's the.
You still print all that locally? Yeah, so
it would there be if we put it in with the bill, would there be a cost for the actual printing?
Well, it'd just be whatever we come up with, we'll just run it with our other stuff that we put in.
Okay.
We'll just scan it in with that. And I usually put in one or two pages with every bill anyway. Yeah.
But it would be $850 if we did a separate mailing.
Depending on weight, yeah. Yeah. And that's how they typically go by.
I think people are putting it in, hopefully they would look at it if it was in there with their bill more than if we just sent it to them.
Except for all the people that have auto pay. that don't look at their bill.
There's a handful, yeah. There's more and more now that just are signed up for auto pay, but.
So no matter the size, like if we just did a little postcard, it would still be about 800?
Yeah, well, you've seen the flushing notices we send out or on the, just a card stock.
Yeah.
That's $850.
Okay. So that's at least one expense. And then the printing of the forms for registration for the non-parade. And then, of course, staff costs for any of this is going to have to be. So I will, I've got two or three things to talk to Jason about. So I will call and make an appointment and go and see him.
And he will be in tomorrow and he will be in next week. He will be on vacation after that.
Okay. So I need to call him tomorrow. But he will be here. Yeah, that is just okay.
He'll be here tomorrow and next week. After that, he's going to be gone.
I called and left him a message about this meeting and hoping he would be here, but I will try and get a hold of him tomorrow. Thank you, gosh. It's amazing the.
We can promise the budget committee that we won't ask next year.
That's true. One and only. Yeah, when it's the 200, it'd be somebody else doing this. So let's see. Yeah, the fire department seemed very interested in participating in this in whatever way they decide to come up with. But I think the touch a truck for both the police and the fire children will get a big bang out of that.
If you figure out what day you want to do that, I'll open up the water plant. We'll stage everything down at Public Works.
Pretty easy. Well, that's a good idea.
You want to do it on its own day.
Yeah. Well, y'all decide what would be convenient for you and let me know, okay?
Whatever day you don't have filled, we can make work.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, let's see, Monday, Tuesday.
I can open it up every day. It's going to get boring after a while, probably.
As long as you don't promise in the early stages that there's going to be a week full of excitement, as long as you just.
Right, that's why I don't want to commit to any certain day. Because if you decide at the end of this, well, we've only got enough for 3 days, then we could throw that in if you wanted to start on a Thursday. Because that could be, you could do your opening, then you could guide everybody down there for a touch truck, and then you could start your other stuff the day after that, whatever.
Yeah.
But whatever day that needs to be, I can make that work. I know I can with my equipment, and I know Bob's got stuff that he can do in the fire department, and I'm sure we could get a couple farmers like Rearslip or something to bring some tractors down.
That would be a really good for one evening just to do that, have it all in.
And it gives me the chance to open up the water plant and explain to people what we actually do with our water.
Yeah.
So.
And that is a great facility.
Instead of getting my ass kicked on Facebook all the time.
I was thinking that.
That might be one evening. What do y'all think? I have one evening have that.
City open house.
Yeah. And it's not just the city, of course, if we include the fire department, it would be, the services.
They may want their own night. May want to throw a huge bash down there one night.
Yeah, who knows?
As long as with your opening ceremony, as long as with your opening ceremony on that first Sunday, you're not calling it an opening ceremony for the entire week.
No.
As long as you don't have to use that trigger wordage, then you can just fill in as you go. You don't, your opening dignitary thing doesn't have to depend on that week being full. In other words, it's just a separate thing. Yeah.
I think that in January, we're going to have to hopefully start to firm up, and if we hear back from the different groups, I think maybe January or February, hopefully get everything to where we know whether, okay, do we have enough going on, or businesses interested enough in being open every night that 1 week. And it'll only be, it's remind them only once every 150 years that they have to do this, so. I know the first year that we were here in 1993, our business was on Greenwood, and the shop was air conditioned. And I told my husband, I said, you know, people are walking by. So I just opened up the door. And some people came in just to get cool. But it was amazing how much we sold. I was taking suede coats out of my closet. I sold my dad's cowboy boots. It was just, like I say, it was amazing. And it was just they'd be walking down and the doors open so they'd come in. And so if the businesses here want to do that. I know the owner of the gym, they're really interested in doing whatever, you know. That's one that I know is on board. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to talk to also some of the, like the Oregon Physical Therapy group, other medical groups here in town too might want to, you know, be part of this or do something. I hadn't thought about them until just now. I don't know what they would do or, you know, but at least maybe have an open house or something during that time so people could maybe find themselves a new doctor, who knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mayor, I have to go pick up a kiddo, so.
Okay, yes,
I'm gonna go rest it. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Always.
For you. Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you. When's the next meeting?
13th of January.
Yeah. I can put that on here right now so I show up.
Yeah.
For my propaganda machine, are we set on the 17th and 18th?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be the big weekend, yeah, with the reverse.
So we can push that. We can push that no matter what.
And like I say, I think hopefully by the end of our meeting in January, we'll make a decision as to whether, if not February for sure, whether we're going to be doing a whole week.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, we are. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Rick, do you think that the businesses, is there any way of, and with the holiday and stuff, I know it's going to make it difficult, but in finding out what their feelings are about being open at night that week, and then again on Saturday?
Yeah, some of them downtown and kind of get their feelings on it.
Yeah.
In the past, I mean, even for Life Parade, there's been a reluctance with a lot of them that they want to close at 5 and that's it. Others have seen the advantage of staying open, so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the question is going to be, are you driving people downtown?
Yeah.
You know, so are we going to have, if the activities are downtown and we're bringing in those crowds, I think there's going to be a little bit more acceptance, wouldn't you say, Steve, from a retail aspect? But
yeah, I know in our case it doesn't really make any difference because we're going to, you know, we'd close because we're not really a retail type outlet, but you know, the places down 6th Street, if they can, like I say, for something like the function for Junction or something, when you've got all sorts of foot traffic, you can't help but have people walking your place.
Right.
So, you know, some of those places, if they were open, like say Max Porter's or the Raven, I don't know about the gym, but they could always do something to.
Oh, it could be a membership thing. I think the other problem we have is that there isn't a lot of retail is our problem.
Yeah.
We have a lot of financial, a lot of insurance and everything,
yeah,
those professional type businesses downtown that, you know, the banking, they don't see, you know, a real advantage to stay open because they're going to get the customers anyway.
Maybe we do it on that first Sunday, just for downtown, when we're doing the opening ceremony and stuff and see, that would give them, it wouldn't be that much of a commitment, but yet have some foot traffic people, hopefully get people down there to, you know, see what.
I can pull, you know, pull some of them and see what their thoughts are.
And then maybe for the weeknights, the different organizations we were talking about, or the churches or the school have, you know, something in the evening. Like say, and on Saturday, even though we've got a home football, I mean, a Oregon football game. I don't know about OSU, did they have one that day? I haven't looked at the schedule. I should have checked on that. Apologize.
You know, I think it's all in how we frame it, because with the light parade this year, the light parade was going on during the Pac-12 championship with the Ducks.
Yeah.
And we had a huge crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge.
It was a game to miss.
Yeah. But I agree with you on that one.
But that's been, with the light parade, that's been the case a number of times. Obviously not last year, but the year before, the same thing. You still had a big crowd.
Still had a good crowd.
Of course, so those games are played out of town, so a lot of people aren't going to sit home.
Well, I had planned to put the TV in the window so people could keep an update on the score until I started looking at the score, and I thought, no, they don't need any misery.
No. It was too much like the regular season back in Utah, score-wise, and the way they played. So.
Well, I think you can have a week of activities without the businesses being open every night.
Yeah. Also, the old cars, that is something a lot of people enjoy, but I don't want to have it all be a whole bunch of old cars come to town and take up all the space on the street.
What if you talk to the Function for Junction board and ask them, you know, maybe you can get specific, a half a dozen specific years to see if maybe they have members that would want to do that. Keeping in mind that if the weather even looks to be a little bit adverse, they're not going to take them out.
I know.
I tried to do a car show on the coast when I ran the fairgrounds out there. Boy, did I get a lecture. These people from the valley would not take their cars out there.
Oh, no, because it's all air. Yeah, but that's a good idea to kind of limit it, maybe, and also the number. But I don't know, do you think it's even something that we should...
Well, could they not be a part of the parade?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I was thinking about. Right. But I didn't want to have the whole street be filled up with cars. So, but I guess we could go off into a side street.
You'd have to limit it.
Yeah.
Guys like to show their car.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I like to have a friend that does. He has a lot, and it was his REO that I rode in the parade back a few years ago, anyway, at the 4th of July parade. And then another time he had one in my front yard. and it was amazing how many people stopped and, you know, had to look that over. But some of the rarer cars, the really old ones, rather than some of the newer ones. So. Okay.
What do you think, Gary, 1940?
That would definitely limit it.
Yeah.
you won't get a lot of the hot rodders in the 40s.
But it's maybe, you know, the first 10 entries or whatever we decide.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It's cut off at that point.
Or the oldest.
Yeah, the oldest. I think the oldest. And like I say, it has to be older than, I guess we could use 1940.
I don't know if we might be able to score some actual Pioneer wagons and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hesitate to joke about this because it's serious, but the Lane County Museum is rebranding themselves to get away from their Pioneer focus.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Well, that's very trendy right now. And up to now, they've had a wagon right in their main floor, right as you walk in. So they don't want it anymore.
Well,
certainly go for it.
I think that's something that maybe our historical society should look into. if you don't mind.
Oh, the cars or the wagon?
No, no, the wagon.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or anything else that, you know, pioneer-wise.
I won't speak for the entire board, but I think we'll, I think if I would find somebody private to take a wagon, the board didn't want.
Yeah.
Like your yard, for example.
Yes.
Or maybe your side yard.
Yeah.
If you didn't want it in the front. Now, if we could score a wagon, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
And if we can get it running.
You're off.
Running with 2 horsepower.
Yeah.
You know, 2 horses or something.
Yeah.
Could give people rides.
Yeah, you can work on that. Yeah, that was really popular when Lone Pine was.
Oh, yeah, no, no, I think, I can't say I planned it, but I think we just stumbled into something yet. Yeah, if we could have wagon rides. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. We need to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I need to work on my notes.
Look at Gary's.
Yeah, I know.
You know, those are public record, Gary.
These ones?
The ones on the front.
I need to sign those too, when she gets.
She'll finalize them now that they've been approved.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
She'll be in the museum in 50 years.
Those drawings on the front.
So what do, is there, if, other than having a representative next Wednesday, that's 22nd. Am I doing my math right? Isn't that the 22nd?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be right.
Okay. At King Grace Church to talk to the ministers about this. Is there anything else between now and the end of the year that needs to be, other than, I will talk to the city administrator about the money, putting some money in the budget for some of this. Okay, so if we do a mailing with maybe a couple of times sheets put in with the bill, and then if we decide to do a mailing up, like you and Andrew were talking about, like a postcard type thing, that's $850, but if we put it in with the bill, there's no charge, right? Except
whatever,
the paper.
Whatever print in the paper is, yeah.
Yeah. How many customers do we have?
Mail out 2,200 bills.
Okay.
So, right around there.
I didn't really, yeah. Because I know there's parts of people that, what I think of in town, that they aren't actually part of town, that still aren't subject to
tank. Yeah, they're part of town, but not in city services.
Yeah. So. Okay, so what figure do y'all think of we ought to ask if I'm asked that, which I probably will be, as to how much to put in the budget for this?
Well, you're the mayor.
Do you think $5,000 would be enough to cover stuff? What about the cost of labor to put out, you know, extra trash cans or
we'll put those out during work days.
Is that too much, or is that not enough? I mean, now we just go back if we don't use it. But,
I recuse myself due to my recent history of 12 years chairing the budget committee.
Yeah, there's a good person to bounce that off of is the city administrator.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I will. Well, I will do that, and the handling of the parade, because that's going to be a cost too. So, I will. Put a call into him tomorrow.
I think you're off to an awesome start by even considering those labor costs. That's very enlightened and good. That's an improvement over history of organizations. It's just assuming that we get taken care of.
Okay, so I will do that tomorrow, and not myself, I'll get a representative to go with the ministers. And is that all that needs to be accomplished before, besides Rick, when, and I'm sorry, I apologize, I have not been good about going to the luncheons. I made that one.
Luncheons are the third Thursday of the month at noon at the Moose Lodge.
Yeah.
And the breakfasts are the second Wednesday at 7:30 at the Moose Lodge.
John Gamby's supposed to be going to the breakfasts, but...
Oh, okay.
Has he been coming at all?
No, I should have bugged him at the light parade when they were looking at the reindeer.
Yes, you should have. Because I've asked,
I'm just happy we fixed the date for the big weekend, so I can run with that in my circles. That's very helpful.
Okay. And the polka band, Junction City Polka Band. I know I've got a friend who lives in Springfield that sometimes plays with them. She's a tuba player. Does anyone know how, would that be through the Scandinavian Festival?
They're called the Darren.
That's right. I knew somebody for, I'm sorry. Because he plays in it. Okay, so Darren Olson. Okay. And the Touch-A Truck. Okay, the School of Dance and the Generations Theater.
Generations Theater, Edie Morrow would be a good contact.
Oh, Edie, okay.
And then I talked with Lawrence Brahms for the School of Dance.
Okay, who?
It's his daughter that runs it. I can't remember her name. Amy, I think it is.
And what's the last name?
Brahms, B-A, or B-R-A-H. M.S.
Oh, Brahms, okay. Oh, we knew some people with that last name, but they live in Springfield.
And they like to do things community focused, so.
Yeah. Well, like I say, that's what we want. This is, like you say, it's a birthday celebration, right. But instead for a person, it's for the city. And that's what we want to do. That's another thing, is the cost, because we've got to have a birthday cake somewhere. And maybe on that Sunday when we start it off, so that is a cost. Costco doesn't do sheet cakes, so we'll have to go to Safeway and see if they'll give us a deal.
And you get a sponsor for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As long as they can put their name on it.
Maybe ice cream from Dairy Mart.
There you go.
That bring, if they know there's going to be food, somebody will come out for for that. So.
Oh, this will take care of itself once the momentum builds up. It's a good concept.
It's getting the advertisement out there. I'm going to put you and Steve on that, if y'all don't mind. Would y'all work together on getting some advertisement out there?
We work together on everything.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've got another one. There's one more on the list, but move it to the top of the list, please. Okay, anybody got anything else?
Nope. Nicely managed. You're right on time. 8 o'clock.
Okay. Like I say, I hope someone will do the apples. That would be, like I say, cheap, fairly easy, and I think it would be lots of fun.
I'd like to run that by Dr. Fauci and his Oregon representative.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a new world, man.